A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I'm so excited about our guest. Please let everyone know who's with us today.
She's a comedian and a writer on Robbie and for Comedy Central. It's Mary Sasson.
Hello.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. I'm so excited.
Are you?
So excited.
We're excited too.
Well, are you?
Are you? I am.
I am.
Mary, I had a question. You are not from the South, but you went to school in the South. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, I'm from Pittsburgh, which I always thought of as the East Coast, but it's like, I don't think the East Coast would accept us, and I don't think we would say we're from the Midwest.
But isn't it on the coast? Is Pittsburgh not on the coast? I have
no. Philadelphia is closer to the coast, but Pennsylvania is like on the other side of Pennsylvania, which is a decently wide state. We're like an hour outside of Ohio.
So, but that's like Riverside in California could be considered like a coastal city. No, maybe
it's all relative. I agree.
All relative.
True.
What was your experience? Because if you're from Pittsburgh, what was your, I guess I'm just curious, like what were your expectations of what North Carolina was like versus like what the reality was?
I will say that, and John, where are you from just out of curiosity?
Oh, I'm from New Jersey.
Okay, so I wonder if you had this experience as well. I grew up, and it's not necessarily politically correct, where like you put on a Southern accent to say something stupid. Like,
sure. You, that was a shorthand, yeah.
Yes, that was like as a child. And I grew up very much like the first time I ever went to the South was we went to Myrtle Beach when I was in fifth grade. And my family was shocked, appalled, and disgusted that like we saw Confederate flags. Like that was like just absolutely wild to us. So when I first went down to North Carolina, I remember I went to like, we had like an orientation weekend. And the way that North Carolina is, which I think like a lot of cities are, is like, if you were from like Greensboro or like Asheville or Charlotte or one of the bigger cities, your parents are probably from New Jersey or, you know, Boston or something like that. And you were like first generation, you didn't have an accent. But if you were from like Fayetteville or someplace small, your family had been there forever and you had a thick accent. And I remember we were going into like an auditorium to hear like the seniors put on sketches and things like that. And some girl said, is this assembly we learn about gay people? And I started laughing because I thought she was doing that thing of like, she had put on an accent to say something like, ignorant. Yeah. And then I realized that's her voice. Then I realized that is her voice. And I was like, oh, yes, I think that this might be the diversity and inclusion. Sketches. So that was like my first indoctrination.
What were these sketches?
Well, it was just one of those things where it would be like they had like seniors who all summer they ran these things, and they would just be something where it would be kind of like like camp stuff would be like, hey, sometimes it would just be things that's just kind of like, where are we going to get food? At the dining hall, kind of thing like that. And other
a
times
reference we understand.
Yeah. Like, we're going to go to Lenore, kind of thing like that. Everybody root for Roy Williams and the basketball team. And sometimes it would be like, hey, my roommate seems like he likes boys. Is that okay? Of course that's okay. We accept all types, kind of thing like that.
Well, I can't believe nice. There's still homophobia after these sketches.
Yeah. Well, I did talk to her pre-sketches, to be fair.
Oh, I see. So you changed her. And then she went on to become Kaylee McEnany, I believe, right?
Yeah, there. She has been all the press secretaries.
Wow. Collective. She's like the Borg.
Yeah. But I would say that, like, Chapel Hill is like a liberal bubble in the South. But there were still, like, moments where I would, like, talk to someone and be like, oh, like, I didn't even know that was a stereotype about people, because that wasn't something that had reached where I was from.
And we're from places where we just pretend to not be racist.
Yes. Exactly. Where it's just like, if my school's de facto segregated, yes. How can you be racist to an individual? We've already said they can't come to the
school.
We've
eliminated that issue for you.
Yes.
Well, speaking of dealing with racism, today we're talking about fried green tomatoes. John, what's the deal with fried green tomatoes?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with fried green tomatoes. It was directed by John Avnet, written by Fanny Flagg and Carol Sobieski, based on Flagg's 1987 novel of the same name. And the film tells the story of a housewife who is unhappy with her life, who befriends an old lady in a nursing home and is enthralled by the tales she tells of people she used to know. It stars Kathy Bates, Jessica Tandy, Mary Stuart Masterson, Mary Louise Parker, and Cicely Tyson. The movie came out on December 27th, 1991. It garnered positive reviews from critics and was a box office hit, grossing $119.4 million on a budget of $11 million. It was nominated for 2 Oscars, a supporting actress for Jessica Tandy and Best Adapted Screenplay. And Roger Ebert said, "Fried Green Tomatoes is fairly predictable and the flashback structure is a distraction, but the strength of the performances overcomes the problems of the structure." And he says he enjoyed the vigor with which Jessica Tandy told her long ago tale about a woman not completely unlike herself. And that is the deal with Fried Green Tomatoes.
Wow. So, Mary, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Fried Green Tomatoes?
Well, you asked me, I think specifically you said pick a gay movie.
Sure. We're looking for the gayest movie. You're looking ever. For the gayest movie. That is true.
Yes. And I will say that I never thought of this as a gay movie, but I had, like, the internet had started making, like, I'd heard some jokes recently about, like, God, this movie.
You're
whatever.
Hanging out with that girl.
That girl again.
Sketch show.
Yeah.
She's,
like,
she's very good on Twitter.
I think it was like lesbians on Twitter, like being like, talking.
Account. Yeah.
They all log into one account.
At lesbians.
They all share it. Yeah. But
typical.
This movie, and I don't think I realized it as much until I started watching it again. I must have seen it. Like, do you ever? It must have been a movie I saw when I was like 7 or 6 years old.
Sure.
It really stuck with me, like, in so many ways. So, like, I was very emotional watching this movie.
You had a lot of flashbacks yourself, huh?
Yeah, and also, but yeah, we're also in, like, the darkest point of my personal history right now.
That's good news. It's all uphill or downhill after this.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably yours too. I just didn't want to label you as that.
No, I've never been thriving more.
But this, I made my husband Matt watch it with me, and there were just so many moments where I was like, you have to watch this part. Oh, no. So I think that this movie just had, like, a place in my heart, which I had heard people be like, this is a gay movie. And on second watch, yeah, it's a gay movie.
You didn't pick up on those nuances when you were 7?
No. Little 7 me was just like, just don't play on railroad tracks.
Right. That's a real big takeaway from this movie.
Right. So was this like only like the second time you've seen it maybe?
No. I think it was probably one of those movies that was like always on TNT.
Yeah.
But I've seen parts of it a million times.
Sure.
That's what my husband said when I told him we were watching this movie. And I wonder maybe if like the TNT version that you saw a lot of times, maybe like even softened or edited some of, because it is, the movie unedited is 2 hours and 10 minutes, which is a long time for a movie, especially like if you're going to do it with commercials. So it's possible that there is like a slightly edited version of it that they showed on TNT that maybe softened the lesbian subtext.
Which also makes sense because there got to be a point in the movie where I was like, okay, I don't remember any of this movie past here. So it also makes sense, like, little me was like, I am not sitting down for this whole movie.
So, John, what's your history with Fried Green? What's your take?
My hot take on Fried Green Tomatoes?
The skillet.
I saw it when it came out in theaters. I remember seeing it. And I don't know that I've seen it since then until this afternoon when I finally watched it again. And there was the whole Jessica Tandy, Kathy Bates part of it, completely forgot. Did not remember any.
You didn't remember the framing?
Nope. Did not remember the framing device of this movie. I just remembered all the, you know, the Southern stuff. It was great to see it again. I think it was such a really good movie. I was happy to watch it again. I enjoyed it very much. How about you, Mark? What is your history with Fried Green Tomatoes?
I believe I too saw it in the theaters, and I don't think I've seen it since, but okay. I've always remembered I'm older and have better insurance.
You know, right.
I mean, that's all.
Oh,
I feel like that was like in like teasers of the movie or the trailer. Like it's such a line.
And I remember, but I hadn't seen it since then. It's always a movie I remember like really loving it, but then I watched it again. I was like, oh, it's fine. Like, to me, it doesn't hit any particularly like high highs or low lows. It doesn't like punch me in the gut. Like, this is one I like started thinking, like, why is this not working on me like Terms of Endearment does? And I think there's like a shallowness to all of Fried Green Tomatoes that everything like, almost moves too quickly.
And like, it does try to do a lot,
like, as opposed to just like sitting in like less time and like, but for longer amounts of time. You know what I mean? Like, I wish there were less time jumps.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I also think, too, like in watching it, I was like, oh, this is like a big, like this is like a mainstream movie, but they would never make this movie as a mainstream movie today. It would be like an art house indie sort of like, and it would probably be like grittier or push more of the lesbian elements than there. But this is like this weird half breed of like a mainstream movie that's an independent movie shoved together. So like it's right. It doesn't have the interestingness, but it doesn't have like quite that like shiny.
It's something like a portrait of a green tomato in Greece.
Yes, exactly.
I think it like too, as you just said that, like it reminds me of like Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
In that way that like all of a sudden it's like this person's sick kind of thing.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Right. And like, well, that was barely set up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I don't remember as a child that woman. I mean, I don't know if we worry about spoiling it.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I don't remember.
30-year-old movie.
Yeah. I don't remember Mary Louise Parker getting cancer, but that came so quickly. Not that you like always get a preamble to cancer, but that happens so quickly.
Or that you want to linger in it. Right.
Yeah.
But like Terms of Endearment, like the cancer is like 30, 40 minutes of the whole movie.
Yeah, or even like Beaches, where it feels like, oh no, this happened. And now we're like, we almost like sit in the cancer and we watch this woman realize that she's not going to like get to raise her daughter and things like that. But this, it felt like it went from like, and then she had a stomach ache and like narration, and then she has cancer and now she can't get out of bed and she has the most chapped lips in the world.
Yeah.
Right.
And her skin is like glue. Yeah.
You think they would have known about Burt's Bees, all the bees.
All of the bee stuff she does, yeah.
Well, Mary, as you may or may not know, but it sounds like you do know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge this movie. So we're going to go through a ton of categories, about 75 minutes worth of categories.
Don't you worry.
So we're all going to score it, and then we're going to come out with the final percentage. So this is our current top five rankings for the gayest movie ever. These are the top five movies.
Okay.
So, number five with a 79.51% Grease 2. Number four with 83% Clue. Number three with an 85.19% The Lost Boys. Number two, 86.92% Death Becomes Her. And the number one current champion gayest movie ever with a 94.83% Female Trouble.
Oh, I've never heard of Female Trouble.
John Waters.
Mary. Oh, okay.
Classic. You've heard of it. So where do you predict Fried Green Tomatoes will end up?
I will be interested in seeing what these categories are. I think that could do it. Because maybe it surprises me that Clue is very gay. But
well, it's very camp, and there's a lot of strong, you know.
You've got Eileen Brennan, Madeline Kahn.
Yeah, I wonder then if this movie, it either will be very gay or not, like the gayness is so forward that it like gets a couple categories really high and then everything else not. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, right, there's only one way to find out. Let's get into it. The first group of categories, this is the canon categories. So we're each going to score these on a scale of 0 to 100. So then we take the average of all three of our scores, and that's the score. So the first category, how would you score Fried Green Tomatoes on actual gay characters?
Well, I mean,
I thought her name was Itchy.
I thought it was Itchy until I was watching with captions, and I was like, "Oh, Itchy!
Yeah. That's not a name."
I guess because her name in the beginning is Imogen.
Oh
yeah.
And again, I only can watch shows with captions on. I feel a million, but
it's kind of nice though.
It is nice. She's a closeted lesbian.
I don't even know if I would say she's closet. I know it's like more explicit in the book, and they've really.
Okay.
And I think that there's talk of a remake happening where they are going to lean into the lesbianism, as it were.
Okay. And I would also say that I don't know if Mary Louise Parker didn't share some latent feelings.
Well, I think it's like, to me, like the movie, they're not explicitly gay, but they're definitely coded as gay. Like, this is, for all intents and purposes, they are a lesbian couple. You know what
100%.
I mean? 100%.
Yeah.
Like, they aren't like, it's not like, this isn't Portrait of Lady on Fire. We're not seeing anything, but for all intents and purposes, if this was 1991 and you were like a lesbian yourself, I think there is something to be seen of yourself in movie.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know if ever Ruth's character requited that love.
I think so, because they were like together. Just the
they played with pie material.
That, well, the director said that that was,
is that what you're saying?
The director said that was because it is in the book, and there was like talk about like how explicit are we going to be with this, and they decided not to be explicit. But he said that food fight scene was meant to be like, this is sort of like a metaphor of a lovemaking scene between the two of them.
Oh, okay. Then gay characters. So it's 0 to 100?
0 to 100, yeah.
0 to 100.
I'm going to give it 92 because I think that there are gay characters, but I think that this movie specifically doesn't go far enough. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's totally fair, yeah.
Because there's also enough for you, like, if you're homophobic, to think like, what do you mean? There's no gay people in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, there's enough where you could, like, if you want to deny reality, you can.
So you want to give it points for that?
No. I'm just saying. I would take away points for that, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, well, here's the other question. Do you think that Jessica Tandy and Mary Stuart Masterson are the same character?
Well, they imply that in the movie. Apparently not so in the book, but in the movie, they are clearly meant to be the same person.
That's what I thought,
too. I
think
in the last scene, and again, I hadn't, well, as a child, I hadn't caught on to this. In the last scene, they make it seem like it is her, but it's not as explicit as, it's you.
Right. They don't rip her face off and it's Mary Stuart Masterson. Because who else left this honey on the tombstone?
Yes.
Right.
And when they're like, she is still alive, it's like, well, yeah, she's out there. Yeah.
Maybe we'll see her today. Maybe I'm looking at her right now.
Yeah.
I would say for me, you've got Mary Stuart Masterson, I think, definitely gay. I think Mary Louise Parker, sure, I think, in my mind, they are in a relationship. I'm going to go 80 for that, though, because 80. It is still coded. And there are other relationships, but yeah.
I'm going to go 88. I think these are some of the strongest lesbians we've ever seen in a movie. Not since Windows.
Not since Windows, yeah.
All right, giving an average of 86.67, which is, oh my God, 60 points higher than Mermaids.
Yeah. Mermaids was another movie that really hit me.
Yeah. Mark hates it, and he will shit on it for the next hour.
I think also coming from a Catholic background, that movie had a lot of like guilt issues that I was like, yes,
they get it.
This makes sense.
Yeah.
What did the Pope say? All right, next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I think Kathy Bates could be a fun drag queen Absolutely. Character.
Uh-huh.
Also, do you think that the looks in this,
the cellophane dress, yes.
Cellophane dress for sure.
Cellophane dress. I think that like when she gets her groove back.
Yeah. She's got that big like fun... head handkerchief is fun.
Yeah.
Another thing I would say this is that Jessica Tandy, as you may or may not know, was the original Blanche DuBois in A Streetcar Named Desire. And that is like such an iconic.
Not Blanche Devereaux. When you said that, she was?
In the pilot. They had to recast her, but it was her.
I see.
And that is sort of like an iconic drag character, even though it is
but
a biological
woman. But that's not in
this
movie.
No, but Jessica Tandy is in it.
So are you going to give this points for Misery?
Maybe
because
some
Kathy
points.
Bates was in Misery?
Maybe I will.
That doesn't make any sense. So you're saying a drag queen could watch this, look up the actors on IMDb,
go,
watch another movie.
Exactly. If a drag queen could be inspired to do that, to be like, who's this Jessica Tandy? What is her
Wasn't
history?
Wasn't that true of every movie ever?
Yeah. Well,
Wait,
does that movie
was,
want you to...
She was Blanche DuBois on like Broadway or...
Yes. When Tennessee Williams first produced that play, she was
wow.
Blanche DuBois.
Wow.
Wow.
Not Stella.
But I don't think that there's like a lot of looks from this movie that you would see.
I do think Iggy's like, you know, overalls with a vest and a floppy hat is all.
Yeah,
very...
I actually had a problem. Like once like she sort of embraced her lesbianism, she's just like Annie Hall to me. Like she just looks so out of step with everyone
it
else.
Very
90s in the movie.
To me.
Yes, and like her hair especially.
Her hair,
like her
was
bangs.
So 90s.
Yeah, her hair was very 90s. But just even like her styling, like the vest and this and that, I was like, this doesn't feel like. It's like she was shooting another movie. They said, oh, just come over here really quick and do this scene. You don't need to change. You're fine. You're fine. Just do it. It's okay.
I think the only like true look that you could say like, oh, that's Fried Green Tomatoes is the cellophane dress.
I think the cellophane dress is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that is like true drag though. You know what I mean? Because that seems like a challenge they would do on Drag Race.
Yeah, exactly. It's like take these materials and make beauty out of them.
Yes. But that's pretty much, I do her purple hair, maybe. Ninny's purple hair.
Yeah.
Fun.
Whimsical. Mm-hmm.
I have such a like from a childhood like a visceral memory of when the husband comes home sweaty in a baseball uniform.
Yes.
As kind of like, ugh, that's what a husband could be. So I wonder if is that anything for like a drag king? I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know if it looks like particularly like distinct to this, like unique to
you're
this
right,
movie.
You're right. You're right. That's just like, we're trying to show like husbands can suck.
But also like this whole movie, why is Kathy Bates trying to win this guy over? Like you keep waiting for her to like murder him, like leave him. He is adding nothing to your life. What
it
is
definitely
the,
not a bad
I'm not rooting for you. I'm not rooting for her to like, oh, I hope his husband notices her. Like that's not something I want to see happen.
But I think that it is almost like, one, it feels like a cautionary tale for heterosexuality. But also almost just kind of like, look at how hard she's trying and how little he is. And she has to get her own self-power back to know, like, stop chasing him. Go knock down a wall and improve yourself.
Well, what do we want to give this for drag queen inspiration, Mary?
I'm going to get better with numbers as we go on, but I'm going to say 70 because I do think that cellophane thing is so far, something.
These are all numbers. You're doing very good. You really
have a handle on 70. Numbers. Yeah, I think that the cellophane dress, and I think you could say like be inspired by like just like Kathy Bates's journey within it. So sure. I'll give it a 65.
65. To me, it's just the cellophane dress. I'm going to give it a 30. Giving an average of 55. All right, next category. Gay icons. How many gay icons are in Fried Green Tomatoes?
Well, again, Jessica Tandy.
Is she a gay icon, you think?
Blanche DuBois? Yes, 100%. Kathy Bates?
I just like saying things like that so John shows how old he is.
I was there. I was an usherette at the original. I wish. I just got coffee.
Kathy Bates, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Kathy Bates.
And Cicely Tyson, I would say.
I would also say Lois Smith, who plays
Lois Smith,
Mama
100%.
Mm-hmm. From Minority Report is where I knew her. This movie
Who is Cicely Smith?
Cicely Tyson.
Oh my God, Mary.
Cicely Tyson. Sorry.
Cicely Tyson. Lois Smith was the mother.
Okay. Yes. I remember her.
It's okay.
Threadgood. Mama Threadgood. Mm-hmm. Cicely Tyson was spinny. Cicely Tyson's practically an EGOT. She won a Kennedy Center honor. She won the highest honor a civilian could win by the American government.
Spinny, the person who killed.
Yes.
Yeah, she was the
she's servant. Completely wasted in this movie. She's given nothing to do.
Very little to do. That's true, yeah.
This movie does kind of suffer a bit from white savior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there are some gay icons. I would say Kathy Bates, Jessica Tandy, they're the bulk of the movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Fanny Flagg?
Gay That's icon, true.
Anyone who was on Match Game.
Match Game, yeah.
She
iconic.
Was a Match Game panelist, yeah.
Who is Fanny Flagg? Sorry.
She wrote the book.
She wrote the book, okay. And she did half of the screen. The screenplay apparently was the first woman. She made it a musical. They were like, we like it, but we don't want to do this. So then they got Fanny Flagg, who wrote the book, but she only did apparently 70 pages and was like, I don't want to do this. So then the director sort of cobbled together the script with he kept checking in with Fanny Flagg to make sure she was okay with it. But it is sort of muddled kind of a script overall. Things. Yeah. Which I think sort of contributes to the sort of not so specificness of it. You know what I mean? The sort of generalness of it.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for gay icons, Mary?
Oh, it's tough always going first. I think Kathy Bates has to be a pretty strong one. So I'm gonna give it 85.
85.
I'm gonna go 85 as well. I think Jessica Tandy, Kathy Bates, and Cicely Tyson, they each hit different demographics in very strong ways. So yeah.
And we're coming out. We have to check at lesbians. I feel like maybe Mary Stuart Masterson and Mary Louise Parker. I don't know where they blip for lesbians.
That's true.
I don't know. But I'm going to err on the side of caution and also do 85. Give her an average of 85.
They'll have to add all of us.
Mary Stuart Masterson, is she in Single White Female?
No. Oh, yes. I think so, right? With Jennifer Jason Leigh. Boy, the 90s were a heyday of women with three names.
Yes, they really were.
Too confusing. Oh, no, it's Bridget Fonda.
That's Bridget
Jennifer
Fonda.
Jason Leigh.
Okay. I'm going to...
Mary Stuart Masterson was Some Kind of Wonderful. That was her first big one. She's one of those 90s, not quite it girl, but was did a ton of stuff, especially in the 90s.
Yeah, she feels like a lesbian.
was sort of like a...
In Some Kind of Wonderful, isn't her whole thing that she, she has a crush on Eric Stoltz, but, feels gay?
Yes, she's sort of that. She's sort of like what Ducky was in Pretty in Pink. Because I don't know, here's a sidetrack. I don't know if you know this, but Pretty in Pink, John Hughes had a different ending, which tested poorly. So then he wanted to do the movie with that ending. So he switched the genders. So Some Kind of Wonderful is just Pretty in Pink, but the genders are reversed. And
okay.
So she is, so like John Hughes originally wanted Molly Ringwald to end up with Ducky, but test audience didn't like it. So the character who Ducky you assume is gay.
Yeah.
Her character in Some Kind of Wonderful, you're like, she's a lesbian. She's like a female drummer who dresses like a boy. And it's like, no shade. I'm not it's not negativity, but you're like, you want to be with girls. But she ends up with Eric Stoltz at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Well,
thank you, the 80s.
There you go.
All right. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? Well, I think the only one we have here is Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, and he dies in 10 minutes.
He dies in 10 minutes. He looks adorable, though. He looks
hot. He sure does.
Yeah. I'd say pretty unhorny.
Pretty unhorny for dudes in this movie. Yeah, I think it's pretty low on this.
All of the men in this movie are abusive or oafs or in the clan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or all three.
Or all. Yeah, yeah.
Those are not just mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
A lot of sweaty people, but not in a hot way.
Not in a
sexy
way.
Yeah, in a very southern way.
Ugh, it seems awful.
They're clammy more than sweaty.
Yeah.
Mm. Clanny?
Clammy, that too.
Oh, so what do you want to give this for the male guy? I think it's just Chris O'Donnell in the beginning. He was running away. His butt looks great in some of those pants. I did notice that.
Sure.
Takes off his shirt as soon as he gets inside. See him in a tank top.
I'm gonna give it a 30.
I'm
gonna give it a 20.
20. I'm going to give it a 15 because I think it's just that and it's over so quickly. Give it an average of 21.67, which is double The Shining. Pretty good. All right, next category. Entrances with pizzazz. What would you rate the entrances with pizzazz?
I would say, well, first of all, like the Kathy Bates and the cellophane dress, excuse me, because it's like from the shoes, you know what I mean? They go from the feet up, which is really fun. And then also when we first meet Mary Louise Parker, it's like Jessica Tandy's being like, but everyone loved Ruth. And like, it's just a shot of her and like her head comes up and she's like under that hat and she's very much like, who, me? So like, it's not like pizzazz, but it is like an entrance that is styled.
I also would say that when we first meet baby Iggy, I would say that feels like a very, like, almost like we get immediately like a lesbian kind of like, she is not comfortable in what we're making her wear kind of thing. You know what I mean?
A tomboy.
Sure.
I don't know if that's pizzazz too, but I do think that like, if we're saying like, you know what's up, I think that's.
Yeah. It's like, I get what you're saying. It's like they're like, here's this character in a second. And you're got it.
You immediately are like, oh, this girl we couldn't find is so uncomfortable. Like they show her knees all scraped up.
And bloody and yeah.
That one kid keeps calling her a monkey so for some reason.
That's so horrible.
And then she immediately gets in like a scuffle and runs up a tree.
There's also a nice moment where we see Mary Stuart Masterson, like, adult Iggy, essentially, is like, that's given a nice little moment when she's at like Buddy's grave. That's given a little moment. There's a little trill of the strings. Do strings trill? I don't know.
A trill.
It's an unfortunate entrance with pizzazz, but Frank in his clan robe, that moment, I thought that was like genuinely creepy when you see him inside the house, like the clan member. That was pizzazz. It's, you know, it's creepy, but creepy pizzazz. Have you met Creepy Pizzazz? She used to do drag shows every Monday at home.
Just wore that cellophane dress every week. It was just...
We get it.
But what do you want to give entrances with pizzazz? I think that's all of them.
Yeah, it's pretty like a...
This is
not like a pizzazzy movie. No.
Yeah, I think that, but it's like if we look through a male homosexual gaze type of thing like that, it doesn't have that kind of pizzazz, but there does feel like a lesbian lens through which
like
there
an opening
is,
of a shell kind of thing.
I don't even know what I'm saying. This is like me in like a 5-paragraph essay in college where I'm like trying to be like, okay, but if we turn the tables,
just say a number, it's fine.
But I'm gonna say 60.
60.
Yeah, 60 sounds right. I'll go with 60 as well.
60 sounds wrong to me. It's 40.
Oh.
I'm giving it a 53.33.
Okay.
Oh, which is 1 point higher than Mermaids. Okay, only 52.33. That seems right to me. All right, next category, strident women. How would you rate Fried Green Tomatoes for strident women?
There's a lot.
I think I know what it means, but just so that we're all on the same page, what strident means.
So strident really means usually like overbearing, sort of like irritating, annoying, but we tend to interpret it as like an empowered sort of like a woman who's not going to take any nonsense and who's like going to stand up for herself.
Okay.
I would say this movie has stuff, but I think it has it in both. Like I think Mary Stuart Masterson, I think is pretty strident. That woman who's leading that look at your vagina workshop, she's pretty strident.
Yeah. Both her and the friend who was like at the checkout. Missy? Like, we're gonna learn about masturbating later.
That's Patty Mayonnaise from Doug.
Those two girls who stole Kathy Bates' parking spot, they're pretty strident.
Oh yeah.
Also, we don't see her, but Aunt Vesta throwing candy. Can you imagine?
How rude.
What an asshole.
But also that nurse, that misdirect when like Kathy Bates goes in to see Jessica Tandy, we think she's dead. And so like the movie does that twice where they're like, someone died. No, they didn't.
Yes.
But she
you
was
think you, if you worked in a convalescent home, you'd be more careful to say, like, well, let's get the name first of who we're talking about before I confirm who's dead.
Right. Or not even just be like, yeah. I don't know. Someone told me they died this morning. Like, she's so just like horrible
rip.
About it.
Yeah.
We just need go more to the room. Trash. Yeah. To make money.
Check the dumpster if you need the body.
Yeah.
I would say this movie is filled with strident women.
I would
and it's
agree.
Almost like Kathy Bates becoming a strident
yes.
woman is the arc,
to Wanda.
Her arc mm-hmm. to Wanda. Yeah. I think it's pretty high for strident women.
I'm going to say 95.
95.
Yeah, I'm going to go 90.
90. I'll go 92. Why not? Give an average of 92.33, which is 9 points higher than Edward Scissorhands. Pretty good.
Okay.
All right, next category. Macabre. How macabre is Fried Green Tomatoes?
I mean, they kill a man and make
macabre.
Barbecue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the fact that the whole story is keyed up as a murder story.
Yeah.
I also thought
Buddy
that
he gets killed by a train.
Yeah. That scene where Kathy Bates, before the one where she thinks Jessica Tandy died, where's like she's going to visit Jessica yes. Tandy, and then it's like they just have like just people like who are dying in wheelchairs,
in
like littering the hallway, and she just has like walked through them, like this weird like hallway of death to get to Jessica Tandy, who looks like totally fine for the rest of the movie, but in this one scene she looks like she's about to die.
Right.
Yeah, it's like almost like a, I'm probably not using this completely correctly, but like a Southern Gothic-ness a little bit.
For sure.
I think so, yeah, definitely.
Just also, there's that weird moment with like the ghost of the train, like in the opening
yeah.
with like Kathy Bates is in the town and like, do you hear a train whistle and the wind comes and like it's this dead town.
And I don't know
it feels,
if this
there's
counts...
a haunted feeling yes. to the whole thing.
I don't know if this counts as macabre, but like that, the Klan scene.
Yeah,
it's pretty dark.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's fucked up.
That's true.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use it for like a Halloween decoration.
Uh-oh.
Very. Hope
I got to go change
receipts.
Some things. yeah. I think that it, like if you barbecue up a man that you murdered, that's and make it and the person who was trying to solve that murder eats 4 plates of it. So
that's a Alfred Hitchcock. There's a short story or a movie, an episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents called Lamb to the Slaughter that Hitchcock actually directed. That's about a wife who kills her husband with a rack of lamb, but then she cooks that rack of lamb, the murder weapon, to the investigator.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So I wonder if that and Goodbye Earl from Dixie Chicks, were they all inspired by Fried Green Tomatoes? I wonder. I don't
Earl
know.
Had to die.
Earl had to die. So what do you want to give this for macabre?
I'm going to say 70.
70.
Yeah, with know. The exception of that, I mean, like, that is pretty macabre. Like, making barbecue out of someone is pretty macabre, but it's overall not a very macabre, weird movie. Like, it doesn't feel...
There's, like, macabre moments sprinkled out, but the overall tone isn't that macabre.
Yeah, it's more sort of, like, sweet, homespun. But I mean, they do... feed someone to, you know, like a human being to someone unknowingly. So I'll go 70 as well.
70. I'll buck the trend and go 72.
Ooh,
wow. Fucker. Every time I say a number, I'm worried that you guys are going to say wildly different numbers and I'm going to look crazy. So that felt nice.
Good. Good, good, good.
All right. Giving an average of 70.67. All right. The next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting in Fried Green Tomatoes?
Kind of like a lot of natural light, honestly.
It's kind of, it's all very soft, diffused. It's kind of, I don't know, it's not that exciting.
I mean, but I do think like the night shots are kind of fun, like that shot of them, like where they're like by the bank of the river is sort of like sweet. And there's also like
the
KKK and their torches.
Sure.
That's dramatic.
The night that like Frank gets killed. Yeah. Any of the night stuff, I agree.
But yeah, but you're right. Overall, it's sort of, It attempts to not call attention to itself, like the lighting.
So I'm going to say 15.
Are you 15. Crazy? Are you
now
crazy?
I feel it.
That is so homophobic to give Fried Green Tomatoes only a 15
wow.
in dramatic lighting.
Wow.
Paul Glad.
I think it's mostly just the night shots. I'm going to go 25.
25. I'm going to split the difference and go 20. Mm-hmm. Give an average of 20, which is the lowest we've had in the last 11 movies. Next lowest, Mermaids with a 29.33. Wow, these slice of life movies with Lady are not doing well, unless you're Terms of Endearment. Mm-hmm. All right, the next category, vibrato. How would you rate the vibrato?
So for this one, in addition to literal vibrato, like singing, we also mean like anytime they take a moment and like give it extra, like they sort of zhuzh, like give you more than you need, but you like it. So
okay,
like for
I
me,
see.
What I would say would vibrato would was that moment, as we were talking about earlier, about her friend who whispers, like does a stage whisper when they're at the store, like, we'll be talking about masturbation. Like that to me mm-hmm. felt vibrato. Like, and I know it like turned out to be a thing later, but like when the Reverend was like, I brought my own Bible to this this trial. Like this is like, okay, Father.
I liked vibrato for me was Kathy Bates' Bad Day at the Grocery Store with that one bad scene. He goes, beat it, you old bitch.
Yeah, I think
and
both of those
it's
teen
raining.
Moments.
Yeah.
It's raining and she drops her stovetop.
Yeah.
I think I cried during that moment.
I get it.
That kid was so unnecessarily mean.
I've been feeling a lot of things. Yeah, twice. Because also she is like, it feels like at her lowest, just being like, excuse me.
Yeah.
And then her bag breaks and she's just like, well, what am I supposed to do now? I also
is that her
say,
lowest?
I also would say that when those two girls take her parking spot and do say like, what are you gonna do? Or does she younger and faster? And then they're like, that feels very vibrato.
So
and
awful.
Then I kept even being like, you don't need to hit that car again.
No. Also, because she's hitting that, the bug is hitting another car. Like that.
That's like a huge truck. I'm sure that car is fine. I also think her aunt, who we never see, like just like the candy being thrown at her.
That's
sort of like fun and extra.
Yeah.
So we want to give this for vibrato. Also, Jessica Tandy's voice, vibrato.
Sure, that's true.
It's like a reed in the
real
wind.
Shaking.
Like
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that the like even the kind of like, oh, it was this many years ago, like right after the war, the great one.
Oh.
Well, also, anytime she launches into a story, there's like no ramp up. It's like, well, Sissy was a troubled world. You know what I mean? It's just like they just go right into it.
Maybe this is offensive, but I almost think Mary Louise Parker's black eye is vibrato. It takes up like her whole face of like, in case you couldn't understand, she's being abused.
Right. In case you're in the back of the house.
Yes.
Has...
What's
like
wrong with her?
Stage makeup.
Yeah.
But God, 70?
70.
Yeah, I'll go. I mean, it has that sort of like Southern thing of like everything feels like a little bit more, you know what I mean? So I'm going to go 78.
I'm going to go 55. I mean, at worst, I think this movie kind of feels like a made for TV kind of thing. A lot of moments. Giving it an average of 67.67. All right. Our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork in Fried Green Tomatoes?
Well, I mean, Chris O'Donnell's death.
It's almost the lack of footwork.
Lack of footwork.
Does footwork mean both dancing, but also like what, how does footwork work?
You can use it however you wish to apply
great.
It. It
to
came from the movie Chicago.
It.
Right. Well, okay. It's not however you, it could be like the way the camera moves. It could be like that. It could be actual choreography.
Gotcha.
Could be a lot of foot massages in the movie. Who knows?
There is like the town Follies. They're not doing much though.
No.
It looks like something I choreographed. Stand there.
Do-si-do. So you switch places. That'll work.
Yeah. That's enough. This is not a very footworky movie though, I don't think.
No. How do they jump off a train at one point? That's kind of footworky.
I guess.
I thought Kathy Bates jumping on that trampoline was fun.
There you go.
Sure.
Especially like before we see what exactly she's doing.
Right. Those little trampolines were the rage in the late 80s.
The rage.
You couldn't enter a suburban home
without tumbling over one.
No, breaking an ankle.
But it's not, It's not like we had a lot of Southern dancing in this.
No, we needed more Southern dancing. There's not a jug band anywhere in this town.
I'm going to say she hurt her ankle too, falling off, jumping off that train. 60?
60. One of the most footworky movies you've ever seen.
60 is
60 out of 100?
Okay, sorry. But
yeah, that's far from the most. 60 out of 100.
It's not the least.
I guess we'll...
That is correct.
60 is failing. Yeah. 40. 40.
You do not have to change it.
You don't have to change it. Don't let him bully you.
I'm going to go 40. You're right. Okay. This isn't very footworky.
I'm going to go 55 just because there's a death involved with footwork.
Okay.
I'll give it a 33. I don't think it's very... this. If you want to watch footwork, I would not recommend Fried Green Tomatoes. Giving this an average of 42.67. All right. The next category, animal print. How would you rate the animal print in Fried Green Tomatoes? Is there any animal print?
I didn't see like zebra or leopard, but Mary Stuart Masterson was covered in bees for like one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that classic bee print?
Yeah. She had bees all over her. And she actually did that stunt because according to IMDb trivia.
Wow, John, real reservoir.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I clicked on some links, guys.
I will say when I was watching that scene, I was like, how do you fake this? Are there bees that don't sting? So knowing that she did it herself.
Mm-hmm. Impressive.
It feels like Kathy Bates' character should have worn animal print, but I don't think
floral.
She did.
Yeah. Unless, you know, floral flowers are the animals of the garden.
Sure. If there's floral and
If you want to make that argument, I'm not going to fight you.
I don't.
I think this is pretty low. I'm going to say 0 because I can't think of any.
Right. 0.
I'm going to say 20 because it's not often you see someone covered in bees.
Fair.
I'll give it a 4 for the bees. Give it an average of 8. All right, fine. This is the last of the canon categories. Mary, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Fried Green Tomatoes to a gay person? You met a gay person. They haven't seen Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yeah, you're having brunch with Ryan Barton, and it comes up he has not seen Fried Green Tomatoes. What do you do?
I'm pretty likely, I think. Again, I think that this does feel like a movie. I would more so be like to a lesbian friend, kind of like, oh, there's some fun, like hints of things. Kind
you're
of
with
like
Linda
that.
Perry of Four Non Blondes. You're having brunch
right,
with
right,
her.
Right, right, yeah.
You want to know what's
how
up?
Pink is. Yeah. So I would say, honestly, 95.
So if Linda Perry hadn't seen Fried Green Tomatoes, you would say you got to see it, Linda.
I would say, honestly, if any sexual orientation hasn't seen it, this to me feels like a movie you should just have seen.
Sure. You just know the reference.
Yeah.
That makes sense. 95.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 93. I feel like it is like a movie. I agree. Like, it's the thing of like, oh, yeah, you should see it. And I think especially since there aren't as many like there are very few like canonic gay films, and I feel like there's even less lesbian ones, and so I feel like, oh, this is one you should know, even though it's not like as it's not as lesbian forward as it maybe should be or wants to be. It was at the time a big deal.
It's not rubbing you in the face with his lesbianism.
Correct.
I'm gonna give it a 60. I think this is a movie you could totally watch while you're looking at your phone. I think it'll be fine. You could skim it. Give her an average of 82.67. All right, now, Mary, we're into the wheel categories. We're going to go through 4 of these random categories that other guests have submitted. Then at the end of these 4 categories, you will add a category, and it will be added
to the wheel.
Whoa.
I did it in a weird spot this time. It's okay. I'm out of practice.
It's okay.
You're going to add a category after these 4.
Yeah, so I have wheel that has all the different categories.
Gotcha. For a second,
so
I was like, am I getting the light?
Wrap it up, Mary.
We gotta go. Okay. Okay, ready. So the first category. Breath acting.
Breath acting. This is from your former roommate, Mono Agapian. And did he clear up what breath acting is? Absolutely.
It came from the movie Scream. So the idea, the inspiration for this category was when it's like, I don't know. I think he's in the house. And I like when you're like using breath to like do a lot of the acting for like the like calling attention to your breathing as an acting choice.
You know, you think there would have been more for a lesbian. You know, you think there would have been moments where they're intensely close together, breathing turned on.
Especially with like a death scene.
It doesn't really happen. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if like when Kathy Bates is like crying to Ninny, and just like really overwhelmed.
Yeah.
If that was breathy.
Sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? Definitely. I think even the moment where she's like ramming into the car again and again, like where she's just like gleefully just like laughing and stuff like that. There's some sort of breath acting going on there.
Yeah. But in terms of that, all over.
It's not like a breathiness movie though.
No,
they're pretty much always screaming, I feel like.
So I'm going to give it 33.
I'll give it a 20.
20. Yeah, I'll give it a 20. That sounds fair. Give it an average of 24.33. All right. Wheel category number two. I hear it spinning.
Mannequins.
Mannequins from your other former roommate, Christy Sodaro.
There were some dress forms at the very beginning when they're like getting ready for that wedding.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like a, but I mean, like, it was a cafe. You don't really have mannequins in a cafe.
You've never been to Mannequin Cafe?
It opened right after I moved.
Just as a quick, clarification. These are to presuppose that mannequins make a movie gay.
That is
the
correct.
More mannequins in a movie,
the gayer it is. Okay.
Some people, when it comes time for them to create a category, they game the system and come up with a category that would be so high for them, but would penalize other movies so that it sort of helps them.
Gotcha.
Some people play the game that way.
Okay. Because sometimes, have you ever had someone be like, "Oh, blank is so gay," and you're like, "That had not crossed my lexicon."
Right, right. Right. I like maybe that's just a thing you're into. You know, like church bells are so gay. You know, like no, I think you just like church bells.
Well, I get it a lot when lesbian women will say anything I wear. I've had many like gay friends just being like a graphic tee and pants.
Sure. Or but like, isn't that a graphic tee of like you saying like I can't wait to eat some clam?
Yeah. It's pussy or nothing else in my mouth.
Which is wordy for a graphic tee.
Yeah, at my I'm getting off track, but my what's it called? Wedding. What would it call that?
Reception?
Shower? No, the engagement party. That's what it was. Gotcha. Somebody's, I will not say who it is, boyfriend. You show off the ring at that party.
Sure.
I had a Casio watch on and the other hand had my engagement ring on. And this guy who I had never met before came up to me and said, "Oh, how cute. You have a femme arm and a butch arm." I was like, ooh. This is my party. Are you like, why are you roasting me?
Why are you labeling these things?
I was just like, okay, who are you? Not
many. That's how you met Adam Scott.
Get him out of here, Naomi.
So what do you want to give this? What would you give Fried Green Tomatoes for Mannequins?
Five?
A five.
Yeah, I'm giving it a five as well.
Five sounds right. Giving it an average of five. Mannequins is from the movie Tourist Trap, which I don't know if you've seen. It's a horror
I thought
movie
it was going to be from the movie Mannequins, honestly, no. Knowing Betsy.
Yeah. Well, good luck on this one. Flashback.
Oh,
Flashback.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the 100? Whole movie.
The whole movie.
Especially like a flashback that's like, oh, how long has it been?
Yes.
Do you find which storyline is this like a Julie and Julia situation, like where there's one storyline you're much more interested in than the other? Or were you pretty much like equally divided? Me personally, I was much more invested in Kathy Bates trying to.
I have
find
to say,
herself.
This time I was so much more as well.
I did really like the Kathy Bates arc. But again, because I think I had forgotten what happens in the story.
Right.
I was like, what is going to happen with this murder?
Sure.
I wonder too if there's also like an age thing of like in our 20s, it would have been more about like the Marys. Right.
Yeah. And then
when
she said, "I'm too old to be young, too young to be old," I turned to Matt and I was like, "I feel that."
Oh no!
Again, Matt just had to keep being like, "It's okay to cry."
Let it out, Mary. It's
I cried. I
want to watch a movie with the two of you. I think that would be really fun.
Also, Matt, whenever we watch movies where the husband is bad. Oh, he is very much like, I don't want to be like that.
Like, what makes you think you are?
You're 300 like, pounds fine. Away from
you're
that.
Fine. Yeah. You're fine. But yeah, this is pretty high on flashbacks. I'd say 100 is all the only thing I think we can't get any more flashbacks than this.
I think you might be right.
I'm going to give it a 96 just because there are some present day scenes as well, even though like, the present day scenes, for the most part, are there to support the flashbacks.
But don't you have to have? How can you have 100? So if a movie,
I think if a movie like literally
no
like starts with, well, what was that story? And then it's the whole movie, and then the last 2 minutes is coming back to the flashback. That to me would be 100, where it's literally okay. All just a flashback.
I see that. Like,
I don't like. Again, it's still a 96 that I'm giving it. You know what I mean? It's not
You're right. It could be more of just kind of like. And a long time ago.
Yeah. And then we never come back.
That almost then seems to me, though, that it's more like so heavily weighted towards the path. That
it's like
it's
a framing
like,
device.
It's more like it's bookended by flash forwards. And like what we're seeing isn't really the flashback. You know what I mean?
Oh, interesting. How much do you have to have where it's like enough of a flashback?
Right.
But I'll give this 100, giving it an average of 98.67.
Okay.
All right. Wheel category number 4.
Oh, here's a good one. Gossip.
Gossip. How gossipy is Fried Green Tomatoes?
It's pretty gossipy, especially
I think
like.
It's pretty gossipy, too.
There was a phrase I noticed, the phrase, "you should have told me," was said many times, which feels like it's like very adjacent or like akin to like, there's gossip or things aren't being said or like secrets are being kept.
I think also a lot of because of that like Frank murder. Mm-hmm. That there was a lot of like everybody in town said like it had a very much like a small town that holds secrets.
Right.
And we always knew Buddy was her pet kind of thing.
That old train was up to no good as usual.
And even I think that it's just like don't go in there. That's not where church folks should go. Like it felt like everything had a.
And also like there's that southern thing of like these stories that are like there used to be a pond, a lake there, but then the ducks took it away. Like this sort of like weird romanticism.
The ducks took
of,
it
like,
away?
That was the monologue that Mary Stuart Masterson gave Mary Louise Parker was dying.
Yeah.
I was like, why are the ducks on the city commission?
So I'd say a decent amount of gossip. I think I would say that, of just kind of like, we saw from your shoes, we know some of those people are in the Klan. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. So I'll say 85.
Yeah, I'm going to go 91.
91. I'll go 85. That sounds right. Give her an average of 87, which is not as high as Edward Scissorhands, which has 100 in gossip.
That
has a phone train. Yeah,
that's true.
All right, Mary, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use for this movie and every movie moving forward, which will then be added to the wheel.
I'm going to say it. I'm trying to think of how even to...
We can spitball.
We can brainstorm.
Maybe even of just like a mention of like how they're like, have you settled down with anyone? And she's just like, nobody's caught my fancy. And he's just like, why won't you marry me? I'm not going to make like some mention of just kind of like
conventional life choices. Or...
Yeah. Like misunderstanding somebody's. Is that enough?
Well, it could be bucking heteronormativity because she doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Then, rejecting heteronorm performative behaviors.
All right. I like that.
So what would you give Fire Green Tomatoes? And I like bucking, the word bucking, obviously.
I think it's especially pretty high because I think that's even like from the beginning, Iggy's yes. game.
Yes.
Of like and she their hands a bunch of catfish. Too.
Like yeah. they live together. They raise the child together, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she like literally like kicks off men kind of thing.
You think mm-hmm. that ABC sitcom is Modern Family. This is Modern Family.
A more Modern Family.
Thank you.
So I'm going to say 95.
Yeah, I'll go 95 as well. That seems right.
95. But I do think you have to take away some points for Kathy Bates sticking, trying to make it work yeah. with her turd of a husband. So I'm going to deduct yeah. some points there. I'm going to give it an 80. Giving it an average of 90.
I will say this, though, in defense of him, real quick. I don't think he's like a bad person. I just think he's lame. Like, I don't think he's abusive. I think there was a time where he did love her and they were happy together. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's doing anything wrong other than yeah. just being boring.
I have
think
a system...
boring people are bad.
I agree it's not ideal, but I don't think he's, like, he's not like the guy that they had to kill in the other story.
I have a system, and Matt and I use this around the house for how, like, what we've done, is there are villains, heroes, and citizens.
Okay.
And a villain is someone who is outwardly seeking badness kind of sure. thing. A hero is someone who's gone above and beyond, and you know, we understand that. Mm-hmm. He to me feels like a citizen, as like he's just living kind of thing. He's
right.
he's not malicious, but he is not doing
he's not helping
bad. And he has, even I will say that, like in moments when he like gets her lilies, I would say that's like a citizen hero-ish gray
sure,
behavior.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I would agree that he is not a villain.
I would have been fine if he died.
Oh, yeah. But citizens die and we just accept it.
That's true.
I just felt like the movie was saying, like, isn't this good that she's, like, kind of trying to get her husband? But, like, isn't this good that, like, they're going to work it out, that they're going to be okay? Isn't this good? Where I just wanted her to, like, outright just leave him. Who gives a fuck?
I did think she was going to leave him, but I don't know if the movie is saying, isn't this good? She's trying. I think it's almost like, isn't it sad? I don't think she gets her power back until she decides that she's doing it for herself.
Right.
So she's like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to focus on my health because it makes me feel good. I'm going to like visit my friend more. I have to start thinking about me rather than him.
Absolutely. All right, Mary, now we're into the bonus category.
So these are bonus. So instead of 0 to 100, it's now 0 to 10. And so these are just bonus points. So if something does get a 0, it doesn't get penalized, it'll just be, but if it does get a bonus, it's just more points.
Gotcha.
All right, so the first bonus category, on a scale of 0 to 10, what would you give Fried Green Tomatoes for Makeover Montage?
Oh, I wonder, does you think Kathy Bates... like her turnaround counts as a montage?
No.
Because it's not a literal montage.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe like when they're making the Whistle Stop Cafe, that's a little bit of like a montage of them like getting that ready. But there's no like Mary Stuart Masterson getting like a cute haircut and like buying vests.
Yeah. Or like they come out with a picture and they go, no, not that one. And she turns around and comes out with another one. They're like, that's the one.
From the men's department? Okay.
Yeah. So I would say no points.
A 0.
I'll give it a 1 for the getting the whistle stop ready.
I'll give it a 1 for the whistle stop, giving it a 0.67, tied with The Shining. All right. Great. Next one, cheerworthy cameos. Were there any cameos where you said, hey, it's so-and-so, and you just clapped and elbowed Matt in the side? I would say Fanny Flagg was the marriage lecturer.
That's true.
That was fun.
Okay.
That one's pretty good.
I almost just... Chris O'Donnell is so soon, but is that kind of something? No,
he's in too much of the movie.
It's close. It is cameo adjacent in this case, but I wouldn't say it's a cameo. I will say this. Okay. This does not count for anything, but the first scene when the first seminar with Fanny Flagg and that woman who, Missy, it was the character's name, sitting next to Kathy Bates, I was like, is that Edie Falco? I thought Edie Falco was in the movie for a hot second. But it wasn't Edie Falco, and then that character was in several more scenes, so it doesn't count. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
She's got Edie Falco energy.
She definitely
big did. Edie energy.
Yeah, she Nurse Jackie hair for sure.
Yeah,
Patty Manning's voice. I just want a woman with Nurse Jackie hair and a mayonnaise voice. Well, watch Fried Green Tomatoes.
So,
cheerworthy cameos.
So one then?
A one.
Yeah, I'll do one for Fanny Flagg as well.
I'll do two for Fanny Flagg. I think anytime the author is in the movie version of book, I think that's kind of fun.
You know what? I'm going to bump mine up to two as well, because also match game.
Thank you. Show some respect. All right. Next category. Pool trouble.
Pool trouble?
Yeah. Any trouble with the pool?
Well, there's
this came from another housemate of ours, Steve Slaga. former...
I would say this. I mean, like, they do get the car out of the lake.
Yeah.
And that sort of like causes that whole thing. And what is a lake if not nature's pool?
That's what people say. That's nature's pool for you. Mm-hmm. The great nature's pools.
And that was trouble when that.
That was a lot of trouble.
I don't know if it's a 10 because it's not quite, you know, this isn't Gremlins territory or even It Follows. But
So three?
A three.
I'm going to go five.
Five. I'll go three. I'm with Mary. Giving it a 3.67%. All right. Our next one. Witches. How witchy is Fried Green Tomatoes? I don't think there's anything. You would think there'd be one scene where they go see like some weird fortune teller or something in this world, but nothing.
I will say this. I'm going to say a little bit for Cicely Tyson for just being like, it's in the sauce. There's something about that that felt a little
maybe a little, yeah.
Okay, someone's casting a spell.
It is weird that they barely use Cicely Tyson. It's so offensive. Like, she's given nothing to do. She's barely a character.
That is true.
Oh, bee charming?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's true. She's
they
a bee
were
whisperer.
Like, they're like, you ever seen, it was like, some people just know how to charm bees. Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's not nothing.
Okay, we're finding stuff.
Connecting with nature.
Mm-hmm.
If there was something else.
Ruth has a red umbrella.
sure.
A big black train is kind of witchy.
That ghost train feels kind of witchy.
Ghost train, there's a witchy energy.
Anytime
there's dry leaves blown around, that's a witchy energy.
Yeah, feels kind of witchy. So I'm going to say four.
I'll say three.
Three. I'm going to continue this pattern and give it a two. Giving an average of three. All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well,
is
the two
Mary Stuart Masterson gay?
Nope. She's not. Married to a bunch of men.
A bunch of men?
Is...
she's a polygamist, but she's not gay.
I guess she has been married to a bunch of men.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to go zero. But luckily, it doesn't get penalized for this. It just doesn't get any points.
I think zero.
I'm also going to give it zero. For shame, Fried Green Tomatoes. All right, next category. Themes of mothers.
Oh, high themes of mothers.
Yeah, very high
themes.
It
was Ruth. Yeah, Mama Threadgood.
Jessica Tandy has a monologue about her son, Albert, who we never see.
Yes.
Right.
And how, like that was a...
So does that mean Iggy had a son?
Yeah, like what is that?
Where did that son come from? I don't know.
That's also, Kyle kept, I think that like Kathy Bates kept talking, I think in some ways about how like,
oh, yeah,
we emptiness. Never see Kyle, but she's a little bit of an empty nester.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The movie overall is more about like, you know, female friendship though than motherhood, I would say overall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they do like, the fact that like they have a child is what makes that one guy the abusive, you know,
friend
ex-husband like
back.
Keep coming back, you know what I mean, like because of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Like motherhood's important for the move, for the story.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think that like even Iggy takes that little boy on a walk, and it feels like has some like mm-hmm. it feels a little bit that felt beaches to me in the sense of like sure. I'm going to be your mother.
Right.
And I'm going to be too much and overbearing.
No, we're not going to get along at first.
Yeah. And I'm going to take up all the oxygen in the room. And you're going to end up really resenting me.
It's going to be great.
Mothers. So I'm going to give it They're just, because there were so many women in this movie, there were so many mothers. Not that those things are the same. Correlation is not causation. I'm going to give it a 5.
A 5.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5 as well.
I also will give it a 5. Give it an average of 5. All right, next category. Dramatic smoking.
There's like a lot of like little bit of smoking, but to me, the biggest moment was when the trial lawyer is like cross-examining them, and he's like walking through the courtroom while smoking a cigarette.
That's so funny that we used to just be able to do that.
Like you would smoke during your job.
Yeah.
I guess now you can work from a home if
That's
you know.
That's true.
In your home, you can.
Yeah. I'm trying to think that.
But this isn't Basic Instinct. This isn't like, you
no,
know, like, oh, the flourish story. Of a cigarette, you know?
Yeah. I was trying to think of like in the cafe if people were smoking.
But was it dramatic?
No,
where the whatever that place was where Mary Stuart Masterson was like gambling a lot, people were always smoking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think in like, yeah, like the roughness of it. But I think I'm going to give it a 2.
That place I was like, oh, that place looks fun. But then I'm like, oh, it's so hot. And like, it'd probably take so long to get a refill.
It looks great, but the service is garbage.
I think that place probably had a nice breeze in my mind somehow.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because
sure.
It felt like a lot of like, the doors were all like porch doors. What do you call those doors?
Oh, yeah.
Screens?
Like, screen doors, yeah. Mm-hmm. But also I would say that's the kind of place where you're either getting no service or too much service.
Sure.
You know, where it's just yeah. like you've got to
every 5
have,
minutes
like,
they're like, you okay? You need anything else?
Yeah, yes. And then they like sit down in the booth with you and you're like, what? No.
They want to go over their lotto numbers. John, what are you going to give it for dramatic smoking?
I'll give it a 3 for that like interrogation scene.
3. I'm going to give it a 1. Giving an average of 2.
Alrighty.
All right. And the final category in our bonus category is quips. How quippy is Fried Green Tomatoes?
I think Mary Stuart Masterson had a lot of fun quips.
I think there's like a lot on here. Yeah.
On the stand, I thought she had some fun quips.
Right.
Like when he's just like, and how much later was the baby born? It's like 9 months, a normal amount.
I think Kathy Bates has got the classic one of like, face it, girls. Oh, I'm older and I've got more insurance. Like, there you go.
Yeah.
So there's a few.
I think
it's
also.
It's not rat a tat tat, but there's.
It's not Ratatouille either.
No.
I think that Iggy, because she's a stinker, has a like stinker. even a couple of. Yeah.
You wouldn't want her at your improv show, let me tell you.
Oh, boy.
What are you doing?
She'll side coach
make
you.
No sense.
And I think there were some quippy things back. I feel like that Mary Louise Parker had said. Yeah. Even I will say like secrets in the sauce. Like, is that maybe a quip?
Quip adjacent.
I'm going to say 3 then.
3.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3 as well.
3. Also give it a 3. Give it an average of 3. All right. Now we're into the iconic categories. This is another group of categories.
So we're back to 0 to 100, and these are sort of more umbrella, larger categories.
Great.
So the first one, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate Fried Green Tomatoes on homoeroticism?
Hi.
All the Jean Ruth stuff. Swimming in the creek?
The creek.
Swimming in the creek. I think that eating Fried Green Tomatoes scene that becomes the food fight.
The food fight.
Oh, like feeding themselves?
Yeah, that is definitely like a... I mean, that's definitely just like a metaphor for like they're making love.
Yeah.
Smashing a pie in another woman's face. I mean, that's lesbian homoeroticism.
Literally right there. It's a little on the nose. Yeah.
Them getting drunk.
It's literally
together.
On the nose.
So I'm going to say 97.
97.
No, that's that high?
One of the most homo.
That is high.
Ever seen.
It is high. I'm not saying it's wrong, but to answer that question.
No, I'm going to say 83.
Because
it could have been a lot more homoerotic.
Yeah, I think it's like pretty, like they do play it safe. Granted, it was 91.
But sometimes that is more exciting, though, to see like the
things.
Yes,
to not have the explicitness. I agree. I'll give it an 88.
88. I'll give it 82. Give her an average of 84.33. All right, the second iconic category, over-the-top wardrobe. I think Kathy Bates's looks are pretty over the top.
Her looks are pretty, like, especially like her wig that she, that like orange brassy wig she had was a little over the top. There was, especially in the beginning, a lot of like frills and petticoats, and like it didn't feel like, it was like more crazy than would have been actually worn, but it did feel that it was like the most of it. You know what I mean? They like, they like took advantage of it, even if they didn't like push it to outside of reality. Although again, I do think Mary Sue Masterson's like wardrobe, like once she sort of like comes out, like once we're like, oh, she's definitely a lesbian. It's like she was so contemporary that like I would ding it for that because it was so off.
It was right out of Benny and June.
Exactly.
Do you think it counts in like Southern movies how much they must be misting the actors to make them like sweaty?
I guess it's part of like makeup.
Is misting
maybe,
part
of
the wardrobe budget? I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
Who deals with that? Probably more makeup than wardrobe.
It's maybe a makeup thing, right?
Oh, you know, those two girls again, who...
Big hair.
Big hair, and like they look like they are dressed up for an 80s like Halloween night.
And they were definitely blasting Girls Just Want to Have Fun as they drove into that party.
I think those girls were blasting like Motley Crue or something. Okay. They were like, they had a little more of an edge, I think.
Okay.
It definitely was like, we don't have time to explain what these girls are, so we just have to show them so much. But it could be a lot more over the top, so I'm gonna say 75.
Yeah, I'll go 71.
I'm gonna go 33. I do not think that's much very over the top here. It's pretty sedate. It's pretty the top. Given an average of 59.67. And finally, Mary, on a scale of 0 to 100, how campy is Fried Green Tomatoes?
I think a lot of Kathy Bates, well, this is, you know, camp is tough.
Sure is.
You know it when you see it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like
weird
that,
too,
like,
because there's so much Southern in this movie, and Southernness feels very adjacent to camp.
Yeah,
a lot of times.
Because even I think that, like, I think that, like, we're all gonna look at our vagina scene, where she's like, "I need to go to the bathroom." It's like, "Are you having trouble with your lady parts?" And it's just like, "My girdle." Like, that feels camp.
Sure. Yeah. Well, even like that guy, that nasty kid at the supermarket too. It was it's like that could have been in a John Waters movie. That
he's like the foot stomper from Polyester.
Yeah. And I think those girls too. So I'm gonna say 70.
I think it's even given all of that, that's okay. I don't think it's like super, super campy. So I'm gonna just gonna go 50.
50. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. A sad housewife eating a candy bar. A scrappy tomboy trying to ruin a wedding. Dying over a hat. Running a train on Chris O'Donnell has never been so upsetting. Eating donuts while reading a romance novel. Inviting a beautiful young woman to help your troubled lesbian daughter. Heckling a pastor. Falling in love with someone because of their deft removal of a honeycomb. Playing poker in a river. Taking a class where everyone looks in their vagina in a mirror in a room filled with taxidermy. It takes over an hour for the Fried Green Tomatoes to show up. Seeing the woman you love get into a fight, a food fight with another woman and knowing she'll never be yours. Your town having a Follies night, taking out your frustrations on a VW Bug convertible, serving a single piece of sushi on a cracker for dinner.
That was wild.
A juror wearing overalls, cathartic home makeovers, writing to Dear Ninny in glitter glue, multiple shots of Cicely Tyson filling up a syringe, a Step Reebok branded duffel bag, funny cannibalism, and finally graffiti that just says Jim sucks. So that's J-I-M, I should say. But that said, I don't think this is the campiest thing I've ever seen, so I'm going to give it 55. Given an average of 58.33 in terms of camp. All right, now we're into the crown jewels category.
So these categories, we all have to agree on. It's like yes or no. Okay. So there's no right. It's just we all, the three of us have to decide.
All right, so the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Fried Green Tomatoes have a positive portrayal of homosexuality? I don't know. I think it, in some ways it does, because like no one is ever like telling edgy to like dress like a girl. You know what I mean? She is pretty right. accepted for who she is. Yeah. It's also their relationship is never an issue.
Yeah, I think if they were out,
all sublimated,
then it would be like a no-brainer. Like, yes, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, because it
but
shows
also,
them.
But would these women be out in that time period, though? You know what I mean?
Like, I'm not like, even saying, like, if the characters were out, but, like, even if, like, for us, the audience, like, if we did see the scene of the two of them, like, have a relationship, even if it is somewhat closeted.
But we don't necessarily
need
that scene to know that they're gay, you know, because they are coded as gay. We know that without the movie explicitly telling us.
Right, but I think, like, but doesn't that say something about it too, to be like, well, we don't have to say it. Like, should it be given yeah. credit if they're like, we're going to not say it because they're not saying it just because of
know,
like,
because it's not homophobic at all.
Did I you agree. Guys ever have like neighbors who were like two men that lived together forever? And it was like, I'm like looking back on a lot of like in my mm-hmm. childhood, like reevaluating being like, okay, Frank and Tom were gay.
yeah, sure.
Or like I had a friend growing up who it was introduced to me as a child. That's my aunt and that's my mom. And I didn't think anything of it because mm-hmm. that's how it was just introduced to me. And then years later, someone was like, no, Mary, they lived in the same bedroom. They were lesbians. mm-hmm. So I think that even in that time, it's just like if you don't. Like everyone being fine with like Frank and Tom being roommates, mm-hmm. like that doesn't necessarily make it positive because right. I agree the right. positiveness would be like Frank and Tom are partners and that's fine. Kind
right.
of thing.
Right.
Because that's what it felt like a lot of this movie was. It's like, we don't have to say that they're in a partnership.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But there was not like negative things about it. Like that's not one of the things.
It's not
Frank...
negative, but it isn't exactly positive either. It is. Yeah. Like, I could go either way, honestly. Much like the movie.
Yeah.
Even I almost wonder of like, is the director not going far enough? You know what I mean? Like not making it a positive portrayal of gay. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I guess because it is in the book, like it's much more explicit yeah. in the book, apparently.
Like, is he muting himself or him muting the story?
Right.
I don't think it was just him, but I think he was part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's blood on his hands. That's all we know. So what do you vote for, Mary, for positive portrayal of homosexuality? Do you think it gets it?
It's tough because if you view it through like a 19 or a 2020 lens, these women got edited.
For right. sure. But, yeah, definitely.
But if you view it through like 1991 or even what these women were living back then, it wasn't like they were sad because they
right.
were gay.
Right, right. I mean? The movie isn't about like how miserable their lives were. Because,
yeah,
right.
the movie isn't about like, mm-hmm. I feel like there's other movies where it's like, because this man is gay, he is suffering through life.
Brokeback mm-hmm. Mountain, you know?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
or Children's Hour.
The best example, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah. of that. So that's where it's almost like, I want to lean towards yes, but with that asterisk almost.
What do you say, John?
Yeah, I guess it's tough because I feel the exact same way. Like, I want to say yes, but the fact that they never come out and say it
yeah.
in the movie makes it seem like the movie has a problem. The movie is uncomfortable with it. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, that to me is what it is. Like, they could show it as like, I totally get the argument of like, well, the reality of that time, they would not be just like out. You know what I mean? Like
right.
they would not be, you know, Portia and Ellen. But the movie
Thank
itself
God.
Doesn't
Those
give
monsters.
Us that.
I mean, right.
The only thing I will say is at the end when he says like that note that says like, I'll always love
I'll
you,
always love
Ruth,
you.
Right.
To me felt like that was the final moment. They were like, yes, that was the moment when I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. Or even there's like even a moment where it's like, I have so much to tell. I don't know.
I mean, I vote yes, just because I don't think a lesbian would feel bad watching this. You know what I mean? I think you could
That's
almost
true.
Feel affirmed.
That's true. Right.
Like,
you wouldn't feel like, you know. You're right. Yeah, I'll go yes as well.
I mean, what does it matter, ultimately?
That's true.
This isn't a homophobic movie, so I think it's fine.
That's true, yeah.
All right, we're going to do it. We haven't done it in like 15 episodes.
But a positive 50%, that's great.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. Finally, Mary, negative 50%. If this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not be penalized 50% of its points.
All right. That
we
is
have
it.
Reached
we
the
are
end.
Done.
Mary. So now that you know what all these categories are and you've heard them, how do you think now the movie has done?
It's a pretty lesbian movie.
For sure.
Yeah, so I think it lacks some of like...
That was Ebert's review as well.
this is a lesbian movie.
It lacks some of the like gay, as in like male gay, kind of not to be like sequins and like camp and like
excuse
stuff like
me?
That.
Dig yourself out of this one, Mary.
You know what I mean? It's not burlesque or like, you know what I mean? Showgirls, like that kind of thing. Yeah. But I would say that like, this to me almost feels like a lesbian, a young lesbian would be like, I watched this movie and I was like, oh wow, that feels like me kind of
a gateway.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,226.67 points, Fried Green Tomatoes has scored 1,419.67 points, giving it a percentage of 63.76%, making it the 27th gayest movie ever. Okay. Not as gay as Silence of the Lambs, but gayer than 9 to 5.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I'd say that makes sense.
Now that it is interesting looking back on the movies you told me you've done through this lens.
Yes.
It's very fun.
We like
it. So you did it.
How do you feel?
You're in the top 50% at least.
Okay. I feel good.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Well, you brought in a fun, we haven't had a lesbian movie in a while. It's been like a few months. So we appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
We value that. They are part
thank
of the
Thank you for
LGBT.
Representing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mary, thank you so much for doing this. Always a delight to speak with you.
Yes. Is there anything you want to plug or promote or shill during this pandemic we're all living through?
Sure. I would like to plug All Male Panel, three different, I'll say sketches, that I got to produce and write and direct for Comedy Central. And you can on YouTube, All Male Panel, or on any of my social medias. I think that they're my link in bio.
Wonderful. Everyone awesome. Should check those out. Mary, it's always such a treat.
Such
to
a delight.
You.
What a treat.
Whip smart, and I love talking to you.
Oh.
All right. And then we'll
be right back. We're back.
What a fun time talking to Mary.
She's a delight.
Don't you just wish Fried Green Tomatoes was better?
I think it's good. I just wish they had gone a little farther. I'm curious to see this remake, like how they do it.
I mean, don't hold your breath for that remake to come out anytime soon.
Well, sure.
Would you read the book? You sometimes read books.
I do read books. I like reading books. I would totally read the book.
Why it's not a thick tome.
They're not. It's not about girth, Mark.
I'm just saying you could probably handle it.
Okay.
We got a message on Instagram, John.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
From @MW_HC, rolls off the tongue. Really? Said, hello, friends. I'm currently listening to the Shining episode, and you were talking about iconic blowjob scenes. I would like to offer Ghostbusters for your consideration.
Oh, sure.
Dan Aykroyd gets blown by a ghost. I thought it was appropriate for 5 Cold Screams. Love the show. You guys are hilarious. Mike. That's not my brother, Mike. That is an iconic one. I feel like it's gross, though, so I don't like that one.
You know, it's also like 3 seconds.
It's also like Dan Aykroyd wrote the movie, and he wrote a scene where like this hot ghost comes in and undoes my.
Do we see the ghost?
Yeah, she's like this flowy, glowy, like she looks like
remember.
Donna Dixon.
Well, that's his wife.
Well, there you go. But you know, so to me, like, oh, this is like the screenwriter like saying, "What if a ghost came in and blew me? Like, why aren't you making a ghost woman
like you'd be
feel
like,
good?
I'll be there for the auditions where women have to come in and pretend to blow me.
You know what I mean? So that one, I feel also, I feel like Ghostbusters has a very toxic fandom right now.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that Ghostbusters in a long, long time.
The original?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen it a bunch of times, but it's been a long time.
Sure. Not very gay, I don't think.
No. Never seen Ghostbusters 2, which I hear is also very good.
Peter McNichol. Got to get some points for that.
There you go.
Though I'm pretty sure he's straight, but a theater
legend. I think he's straight.
Is he a theater guy?
He is. I wouldn't say legend, but maybe like in the 70s and 80s, he's probably had like more of like a presence. sort of like a what's his name, Dennis O'Hare, or
sure, who could forget?
Who could forget?
Was he a theater guy?
He was a theater guy. Yeah.
Oh, did you ever see him on stage?
I did. I've seen. I saw actually in this movie. I've seen Lois Smith on stage. I saw her in Grapes of Wrath. There was a play of Grapes of Wrath that starred Lois Smith, Gary Sinise, Terry Kenny. I saw Mary Louise Parker in a couple plays. Oh my goodness!
Did they have like the truck come on stage like slowly?
Yeah, there was a truck on stage. Mm-hmm.
Did they just like blast the audience with dust?
Yep. They just like, it was like in the ventilation system.
Well, you want an immersive experience. So everyone who left, there's just,
exactly. Yeah.
Did it include
Mary Louise Parker on stage? It did.
Oh, there you go. Progressive. Mary Louise Parker and what?
Prelude to a Kiss, which was also a movie that she did. She was also, she played the same part in the movie, but I haven't seen the movie. Who else was in this? I saw Mary Stuart Masterson in the musical Nine. She was great in that.
Is that based on Fellini's 8.5?
It is. That is correct. It's a weird movie. I like the musical. Overrated. I don't know if I've seen Cicely Tyson anything.
Kathy Bates?
I haven't, but you know, she was the original Frankie and Johnny, and she was the Night Mother. She's another theater legend.
Frankie and Johnny is not, I always get Frankie and Johnny confused with Tony and Tina's Wedding. So when people say Frankie and Johnny, I think like, oh, that's the play where you have dinner and like
you have a spaghetti dinner and a sheet cake and act like you're at a wedding.
But I've never seen either. I've seen like newspaper ads for Tony and Tina's Wedding. I always thought that seems like fun, but a lot.
You have to like interactive immersive theater.
A little. I only like when it's like ghosts and scary. They're also like 40 minutes. You're in, you're out. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think with Tony and Tina's Wedding, you also got a dinner out of it. So it was sort of like, okay.
Why does that really cheap? People seem to feel that really cheapens. I guess is the vibe on dinner theater is very looked down upon. Is that because like the show doesn't have enough merits that you got to tempt people with like a Hawaiian roll?
I think it's just that like part of the experience for the audience is like, you know, like you hear people chewing. There's like people might be calling for a wait. You know, like you hear like utensils clanging and all that stuff. So like as an actor, it's sort of like no one's sitting and paying attention. It's sort of like akin to like
hell for an actor. I'm sure no one's looking at me
when you're doing
time.
A play. Yeah, that must be annoying.
Welcome to life.
Okay,
tune out during plays all the time, even when I'm not eating.
Right, but are you then gonna? But you're not making noise or like chewing or doing like that.
I'm sawing logs.
A waiter's not coming in and like refilling your water while you.
I wish that would happen. Actually, like it was like a baseball stadium.
Sure, they're always refilling water in baseball stadiums.
Well, you know, they toss you peanuts.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of nuts.
Yes. Okay.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
That's true.
At TWO Old Queens. Let's get this ball rolling. You can follow me on Letterboxd at Mark Rennie, where I maintain the current rankings.
Yeah. So you can email us at 2OldQueens. That's TWOOldQueens@gmail.com. You can also go on iTunes and rate and review us. That really helps the algorithm. We get more people finding our show. And we really appreciate it if you do that. That's very helpful. We also have, we're selling merch on TeePublic. If you go there to 2OldQueens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy, a lot of fun images by Mike Lloyd, and we have a Patreon,
the retirement plans, patreon.com/2OldQueens to get a whole other episode a month.
Yes,
every week, for
a month. We're just finishing up our Nightmare on Elm Street series. Oh no, we finished that up already.
That'll be long gone by that time.
We're way ahead. Time is weird. All right. But that's it. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Oh, we do know our movie for next week.
Oh, let's hear it.
It's the start of our Holidays Jubilee 2020. Mm-hmm. So we're starting up our holiday themes, and it's Thanksgiving. So we're doing Pieces of April, starring the one and only Katie Holmes. But you never saw her on Broadway.
I did not, but she did do a few Broadway plays.
Oh, good for her.
Good for her.
All right. That's Alrighty. It. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay safe.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen,
artwork by Connie Shin,
and special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.